But we stay in Sweden, at that university, with something completely different, as Carl Smith reports.
If you lost a hand or an arm in an accident, many prosthetic replacements are controlled by flexing muscles at the stump of the lost limb. These commands are often counterintuitive and they don't offer people much control. But a woman in Sweden has become the first person to trial a new bionic hand in day-to-day life that could completely change how people control prosthetic devices. Imagine an implant under the skin at the stump of the missing limb that's built into the bone and connected to nerves and muscles. Commands coming from the person's brain are collected by that implant via the nerves and muscles and transmitted to a robotic hand that sits over the stump. Incredibly, this works in reverse as well. So if the robotic hand detects pressure, it can send that information back to the nerves via the implant. The lead researcher of this project is Associate Professor Max Ortiz Catalan from Chalmers University of Technology in Sweden.
The conventional way to mechanically attach a prosthesis to the body is using a socket. What the socket does is compress the stump to provide enough anchorage of the prosthesis. And this can be rather uncomfortable, but also painful at times, and also block the degree of freedom of the joint. The alternative to have an attachment with a socket is to have a direct skeletal attachment, so fixating the prosthesis into the skeleton. And you can achieve that by a process called os integration. And that basically means that if you put a titanium implant into bone, bone cells are happily growing around it and you don't develop a scar tissue that you normally have with other materials. And what this makes is a good mechanical attachment between biology and the artificial component that will be titanium. So you can create an extension of the skeleton. This means that you don't need any components that is over the skin pushing the soft tissues. Now, that's great, but it doesn't help with control. So you can have an arm attached to the body that's comfortable and that you can transfer loads very well. It's particularly important for the legs, but you still didn't have a way to control it because the control mechanism in your body comes from a different system, the neuromuscular system, so nerves and muscles. When you want to move, a signal comes from your brain down to the spinal cord, peripheral nerves. It reaches a muscle. The muscle contracts and activates the joint. After an amputation, you normally lose the joint. You might still have some of the muscles. So what we've done is place electrodes in the muscles and the nerves and get those signals from those electrodes through the same titanium implant that we were using for attaching the prosthesis. So this prosthesis allows you to have connection mechanically to the skeleton and then for the control system to the nerves and muscles. So when you want to move, same thing, signal comes down from the brain, spinal cord to the nerves. We pick it up in either the nerves or the muscles. We tell the prosthesis what to do. But also because we have placed sensors in the prosthesis, when the prosthesis touches an object, it will sense contact and how much force you're putting on the grasp. And then we can transfer that information as electrical pulses that we send directly to the nerves. So the brain of the patient will create the experience of a tactile sensation arising from the hand. And of course, the level of resolution is not as good as a biological hand, but it's good enough for you to have a very intuitive control of the hand.
Can you tell me a little bit about the patient's experience?
Going through a surgery, it's tough, but then when she saw that she could start controlling the hand, she was very excited. She'll be able to take the hand home and then just use it on her daily life. And that's pretty much the main difference between our work and everything else that's been done in the past, is that this implant technology is meant to stay in the patient for the rest of her life. These ideas of using implanted electrodes to control a prosthetic device have been around since 50 years ago. But what has been lacking is a way to interface what's inside the body with the prosthesis that is outside the body and have a high bandwidth communication channel between the prosthesis and the neuromuscular system of the patient.
And how much control does she have using this prosthetic hand?
This is the early phases. So what we've seen is that she can easily control the opening and closing of the hand and the rotation of it independently, flexion and extension. At this point, we see 2 or 3 degrees of freedom or 6 movements, but now she's training to do more movements. So she's been an amputee for several years. So, of course, if you never tried to do that, you need a little bit of time to remember how those movements should be done. And that's another important thing. We're not teaching her to do something new. We're just trying to get her to remember how she used to control the missing hand and then use that information to drive the hand.
Is this safe in the early trials that you've conducted so far, sending electrical signals down to a robotic hand and then receiving electrical signals from that hand?
If you think about the electrical communication, yeah, that's safe. So we have made sure that we're using levels of stimulation that are known to be well tolerated by the body. And the electronics, of course, are designed with all the safety implementations that you would require to avoid accidents. So from the electrical viewpoint, it's very safe. One of the major things to keep in mind will be that you have an implant going through the skin. But the results that we have published in scientific journals show that patients in average will develop superficial skin infection once every other year. And these are normally treated with regular antibiotics, and the patients can keep using their prosthesis while they have the infection. If you will have a skin infection with a socket, you wouldn't be able to wear the prosthesis.
When will this technology be available for other patients?
In principle, it's available now in a clinical trial. And this clinical trial is taking place in Sweden as a commercial product. That depends on different countries have different legislations and requirements and so on. So most likely will be probably available in Europe first. And then we have a close collaboration with Australia. So we expect to have this in patients in Australia in 1 or 2 years. So if you have patients in Australia that are interested in this technology, they're very welcome to contact me. We have collaborators in Melbourne, and we can possibly find a way to get them an early access to the tech.
There's an invitation. Details on the Science Show website and that report from Carl Smith. Coming up in the Science Show, how teenagers helped design a whole gallery at a science centre in Melbourne.